This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's edition of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visitanderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home for the greatest professional fishermen in the world and the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and a college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Well, that was a blast, no? The Toyota Bassmaster Texas Fest at Lake Fork produced 63 20-pound bags, 5 30-plus pound sacks, and an 11-pounder on Bassmaster Live. That's a record. And Garrett Paquette had 102 pounds. It was a distant second to Brandon Cobb's 114 pounds of largemouth bass. Now, mind you, that's not for like 90 fish. That's 20, as in 5.7 pounds per fish just to get on the board. Everything under that didn't count for squat. What a display. And it wasn't just Cobb. I mean, at one point, Chad Pipkins went off for like 30 pounds in about an hour, all captured on Bassmaster Live, and he single-handedly sold out the D'Amici DC Series 300 crankbait. Guys caught him cranking on top water and everywhere in between. Brandon Cobb is in the winner's circle segment for the second time in a month later on in the show. Now, the elites were supposed to be at Fort Gibson next week, but flooding in Oklahoma forced a postponement of that derby in mid-September. But before that, we caught up with Sooner Luke Palmer in our Meet the Elite segment. And in the leadoff role today, Neil Paul from Visit Anderson in Lake Hartwell is back with his thoughts on his guy, Brandon Cobb, and two more major events that are coming to Hartwell this fall. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a Texas Meat Fest edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And again, just such an exciting deal at Texas Fest as Brandon Cobb, Visit Anderson Pro, Brandon Cobb, getting the victory for the second time in a month, picking up that $100,000 check. And this kid is just hot as a pistol. And just to tell you how good the field is, here we are more than halfway through the season. And you know, he's in the top 10, you know, in the AOI points, but he's not leading the way quite yet. Patrick Walter's still leading the way, even though he's got a couple of wins. And joining us now, a guy that was extremely excited to watch it happen from Visit Anderson, which was making their own news last week. And, of course, a great sponsor of Bassmaster Radio as well, Neil Paul. Neil, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, Tom, I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm fantastic. How exciting is it to watch a kid like this that you've known for a long time and who represents the region for you guys and Visit Anderson and calls Lake Hartwell his home? How exciting is it for you guys to watch your guy just absolutely slamming him the way he was last weekend at Lake Fork?
It was unbelievable. You know, the kid's undoubtedly got, I mean, his talent ceiling is just has no limits. I mean, we saw him come here. To his point, he'll tell you this, he's not a very good Florida angler, but he went down. He had a really good finish at St. John's. He had another good finish at Lanier. And then he came here, obviously, Hartwell is home lake, and dominated the event, you know, led wire to wire in one, and then went to Texas Fest and just completely smashed him. And I'll tell you, I actually... I'll tell you this, I don't mind me. I did not put him in my fantasy lineup.
Not on mine either.
Believe it or not. because I just, in communicating and talking with him ahead of time, it just, you know, just wasn't really anything that he felt good about. And I remember, but I'll tell you this, I remember when Live came on Thursday morning, and I forget, I think it was Mark Zona that made the comment, and he was talking about fish being shallow, frog bites, and guys being able to sight fish, to catch fish. And I remember hearing that. I was driving into work, and I said to myself then, if this is going to be a frog tournament, top water, sight fishing deal, this could be right in Cobb's wheelhouse. And I never told that to anybody. Just that was my thought coming into work, and watched him just completely explode. And I mean, honestly, he caught 114 pounds in 4 days, but really, he caught 100 pounds in 3 days.
No, yeah, he had a 14.7 on day two, and I think Mark Zona equipped it. If he hadn't had that, he probably would have caught 200 pounds worth of fish. And day three's 37 pounds, anchored by 38 pounds, really, anchored by that 11-pounder. And what an incredible deal that was. And Brandon's a slight guy, and I got a chuckle out of it because they keep showing that hook set over and over again. That fish almost pulled him over the deck back into the water.
It did. And I'm like you. I don't know how many times I've watched it, but that was hilarious. I remember watching the big one that Clun caught at St. John's River, and I remember when – and I knew it was a big one when he set the hook. And when he set the hook, the rod only came back about a third of the way on his turn. And when Brandon on Sunday, when he set the hook on that deal, he didn't move. Or the rod didn't move. And you're right, it almost snatched him back in the water. But what a fun fish catch. And he thought it was a 5-pounder. And obviously, it more than doubled by the time he got it to the boat. But just watching that. And I mean, who doesn't dream of being able to take and throw an 8-pounder back so you can keep an 11? You know what I mean?
Well, and the thing was, when he held those two up, it occurred to me, that's 20. You know what I mean? I mean, he held those two fish up, and before he called out the 8-pounder, and I'm looking in, there's two bass, that's 20. You know, how often do we see a 20-pound bag? And it was funny, I remember even on the championship Monday, you know, he just casually throws back a 4.5-pounder like it's nothing. Do you know what that 4.5-pounder would be worth next week? You know, when they're at Gibson? I mean, it would be like they would be hollering and screaming. They'd be hand-landing it. These guys are boat flipping fives and six at Fork like, you know, like they were trash fish.
It's truly, you know, it's true. We all, you know, obviously we're proud of the fishery that we have here in our facilities and things like that. But a lot of credit to the folks in Texas for what they've done with their lake management programs and their stocking programs and just that whole thing. The state's bought in there. Their wildlife folks have been a great leader. For all of us. And then the big thing and the reason that it's worked so well, and I know Texas Parks and Wildlife got a great deal of credit over the weekend with on Bass Live and their folks, and deservedly so. But the communities, the anglers, the folks in Texas, the communities that have all bought in to what they're doing, because that system only works if the people that support you buy in. And they've bought in, and it's just been tremendous. And fans like us, we get to tune in and watch those events, and just we're just blown away. I mean, yeah. I tell people, like, I had one of my best fishing days on Sunday ever, and all I did was watch live.
Yeah.
I didn't even pick up a rod and go outside.
Yeah.
And it was tremendous. But a lot of credit to those folks.
Neil Paul with us. He's the executive director of Visit Anderson. And, yeah, they get a lot of love. So does Lake Hartwell and Anderson County, that whole area over there, as well as you guys continue to be part of the rotation now for all of these major events. Of course, we were there earlier this year with an Elite Series event. You've had three classics there over the years, and now coming up this fall, the Bassmaster Team Championship and the TNT Fireworks Bass Nation Championships coming up later this fall. So important to the region there, and a lot of similarities to Lake Fork, in as much as that it seems like the whole community is kind of built around Lake Hartwell and, of course, Clemson University and everything else that goes on there.
Oh, absolutely. And the community's been extremely supportive, and the county's been extremely supportive. We had an event recently out at the lake where we recognized with two anglers that we work with, Brandon Cobb, obviously one, and Brian Latimer from the FLW series.
Yeah.
And both of those guys won events in the month of March and April, and we had a little press conference to recognize those guys, and it was brought up that people had never really looked at the lake in a serious capacity as far as a fishery until Bass brought the Classic here in 2008. And the point was made during that press conference that after the Classic in 2008, when people locally saw, Anderson County included, when people saw the impact that bass fishing, that fishing could have on the lake, that's where the ideas and the dream for Green Pond spawned, was from the 2008 Classic. So I think, again, like going back to the comments I made about Texas a few minutes ago, it takes an entire community to buy in. You've got to have buy-in from the top, which in our case is the county council, Anderson County, our regional and state political delegations. And South Carolina DNR have been great supporters of Green Pond as well. But then it also takes the buy-in from the community. And we've got a tremendous fishing community here, our businesses, our restaurants that have bought in, and then our local anglers that have bought in and done a great job to not only fish and promote, but then protect our resource as well.
You know that about it. Neil Paul with us. And you mentioned Green Pond Landing. What a great location this will be for these events to go out. Every time I go back there, it gets better and better with the work that continues to go on out there. And by the way, those that were concerned, of course, Clemson is right on Lake Hartwell. They will be on the road at NC State that weekend. So I think you rigged this, right? I mean, you must have had something to do with the date of this deal, where the nation championship will be November 6th through 8th, Friday the 8th, and then the 9th, Clemson plays at NC State. So you don't have to be conflicted with Clemson playing a game there on the shores of Lake Hartwell that weekend.
No, and I tell people the wonderful thing about Clemson football, and it's a good problem and bad problem. The good problem is the fact that 7 weekends every fall, we don't have to do anything, and our hotels and restaurants are full. The tough part about it is, for 7 weekends every fall, our hotels and restaurants are full,
yeah.
And it's tough to plan around. But to the credit of John Stewart and the folks at Bass, they were willing to delay the announcement a little bit until we could get the football schedule announced, and then we could sit down and look at the best dates to kind of try and put it together, because obviously you want everybody in the community to have a great experience, and so you try to set it against an off weekend for football, so the people coming into town for the Bass Nation Championship aren't stuck paying a higher hotel rate, and they're not, you know, crowds in the restaurants and things like that. So it works perfect with the dates and everything. Just means I'll have to miss a ball game that Saturday.
Team championship takes place December 11th through 14th as well at Hartwell, which is becoming just one of the go-to places, certainly in the nation, as they do such a great job. Neil Paul has been our guest, the executive director of Visit Anderson. If you haven't been there, you got to get over there and create it. I like to say, you know, Anderson, South Carolina, if it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. It's that sweet a place to go. Neil, I appreciate you so much, as always.
Tom, thank you so much. Congratulations to you and the success you're having with the show, and always great to be a part of things.
All right, thank you. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, it's Meet the Elites time with Luke Palmer from Oklahoma. We'll talk about his start to the season and Fort Gibson next, right here on Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, on the Bassmaster Radio Network. Time for a little Meet the Elites. And if you're going to meet the elites the week before Fort Gibson, why not go to Oklahoma? And that's what we decided to do with Luke Palmer. Now, Luke Palmer had himself a pretty good little Texas fest, but finished just outside of the top 10, or he'd have been fishing on Championship Monday, but he picks up a nice check there. And apparently 26.5 pounds, 15, 16 pounds, and 21, 14 are not enough to get you at Championship Sunday. 64-11 wins a lot of tournaments, but not at Texas Fest for sure. But Luke is third place now in the Rookie of the Year standings. He's 16th place in the Angler of the Year standings, so he's having a great rookie year on the Elite Series, and he joins us now. Luke, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic. If I gave you 64-11 right now going into Gibson, you'd take that and run, or what, for the whole four-day deal?
I wouldn't even show up. I just stay at home.
I mean, goodness gracious, that is what an event that is, and what a great job they do. Had you spent much time on Fork? I mean, that's not too far from your home in Oklahoma.
You know, it's not, but I haven't. I've probably been on it like 6 times, 7 times in my life, and the last time was 5 years ago. So really hadn't spent much down there at all. You know, it's just not a place I go a lot just because, you know, they had the slot, which is great for the lake, but not, I don't fish any tournament trails that go down there, so I just never went down there much.
No reason. Colgate, Oklahoma, which is kind of south central Oklahoma, would that be right? I mean, you're not that far from the Texas border.
No, I'm Texoma. You know, they had Bass Fest down there a couple of years ago. I'm about an hour from there, hour north of it, right off 69 Highway. So I can jump on 69 and, you know, go any which way and have some pretty good fisheries.
When you finish 11th, you know, and you miss Championship Sunday by whatever it was, it wasn't a lot of weight. Is there a fish catch or a moment that you remember on day two? You had that 15-15. A lot of the weights were a little bit lower on day two there. Is there a particular moment that you look at and you say, dang, it was that fish or that moment where I could have put myself into at least one more day of fishing?
Well, you know, my day two, really, I fished very clean the first 2 days. I mean, it was really, and for throwing, I was throwing frog a lot the first 2 days and swim jig, and the final day was just a train wreck for me. I lost one that morning about 5 pounds and then lost a 3-pounder. And then, heck, then I caught a 7-12, boat flipped 7-12 at 8 o'clock in the morning, went on. But throughout the day, I caught a 6, and I lost another 5. And the two fish that really killed me is at 1:30, I pulled into my area that I started on, and I swam a jig through some grass and stuck a fish in between 6 and 7 pounds, got her halfway to the boat, she jumps, comes off. Mm. And I have a 2:3, a 2:14, and a 2:13 in my box. So you know what that does to my weight,
yeah,
and where I'm going on Monday. You know that I've seen that fish 400 times since, you know, the tournament in my mind. But and like I said, it was a good finish for me because I didn't expect to do that well down at Texas. I had been worried about that tournament for a long time, just because I'm not a grass and stump filled lake guy. That, you know, I don't have much of that in Oklahoma. So that was but everything happened good for me. It rained, the water come up, stayed off colored, and that's my type of stuff anyway. So that was good.
Yeah, Oklahoma Pro Luke Palmer with us here. We'll get to Fort Gibson in a moment. But it's interesting that you say that because, you know, 8th at Winya Bay. And I would imagine Winya Bay, you don't have much in Oklahoma that looks like Winya Bay either.
Now that I was very fortunate that when not accidentally, but I come across the stuff. On the second day of practice, I had about a 4.5-pounder come off, and I had 6 or 7 bites there within that 70-yard stretch that I stuck on for 4 days, and just kind of tried to manage it. I didn't manage it very good, it didn't look like, but it was that was another thing. We have 1 or 2 lakes in Oklahoma that have hydrilla in them, and I'm talking that have hydrilla. That means they have a spot about the bigger than a car in it, I think. It might be the only hydrilla in the whole lake. But it was new to me, but I actually kind of had to revert to going back and pond fishing where we have coontail grass and stuff like that. And I had to go, you know, go old school and go back to when I was 10, 11, 12 years old and try to remember what I was doing then to catch fish, to try to do that. And, it worked out for me. You know, just very fortunate, though, when you run, or, you know, I ran 800 and something miles and 4 days, and you happen on that one stretch that's 70 yards long, and you stick on for 4 days.
So yeah,
pretty fortunate, you know.
I bet you were happy you were running that Phoenix boat when you're running that much out there. And full disclosure, the Bassmaster Radio Studio is about 3 miles from the Phoenix plant here in Winchester, Tennessee. So Gary lives down not too far from me, and the Phoenix plant is right around the corner. So we see him all the time over here. But I bet you were happy you were running that thing up. It just handles that big water so well.
Oh, their boat is amazing. I've ran a couple of different boat companies up till 3 years ago when I got my first Phoenix, and bought a 21 PHX, and that was the catch me out. I loved that boat. It done everything I wanted it to. But then this year I dropped back to the 20, but I'd fished 10 tournaments up till then, and I said the 20 footer's probably all I need for just me. But I mean, that boat, it's a little bit faster. You know, I thought a little bit better fuel economy for these tournaments that we're running a billion miles, it seems like. And I love the layout of that PHX. They've held up so good for me. I mean, it's like you say, the rough water, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Just get on and go. I mean, I love the boat. Can't say a bad thing about it. I mean, it's been very, and they've been good to me. Haven't had to do anything to the boat. Just get in and drive it. It's been great.
Luke Palmer with us, rookie on the tour, and this has been his plan forever. I mean, since he was 11 years old, fishing tournaments with his daddy, this was the plan that he would do. Now, look, we know Mercury and Phoenix and Lowrance and Power Pole and those great sponsors that help you out. We don't know anything about Horizon, Trike, and Marine. Tell us about those guys, because obviously sponsors would help you out as a young guy as you're making your name. You know, it'd be impossible to do this without these guys.
Oh, it's no comparison on me. You know, I got on with those guys about 3 years ago. It was just another fortunate deal for me, another break. And he's been good to me ever since. I mean, if I have any issue with anything, motor, electronics, you know, it doesn't matter. I can call him up on a Sunday if I need to, and he takes care of me. I mean, I could not ask for a better dealer. I'm driving 200 miles one way to him, and I mean, you couldn't ask for a better guy to take care of you. I mean, he tournament fishes too, so he knows what it's like to have issues or anything like that. And he runs his business all like I do mine, and that's what really kept me with him so long. And he, like I said, though, he takes care of me, takes care of his customers. He sells boats all over the country. People drive to him because of how well he takes care of you.
Yeah, Luke Palmer, 28 years old, rookie on the Elite Series, and also good at family business, so you're able to kind of work with that. But I love the part of your story about cutting lawns, because I have a son that does that now, that is building a lawn business, and eventually he's going to have several guys working for him to handle all of the yards that he does and everything. But you started cutting lawns at such a young age and saving basically every dime that you made, and were able to buy your first bass boat cash. I mean, that's really impressive. That's a lot of saving. That's a lot of lawns to cut to buy that first bass boat.
Yeah, I didn't have much life, I guess you'd call it. I mean, I fished and worked, and you know, which I played ball too. I didn't play a lot of summer ball because of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, which I knew I wanted to fish, and that's all I wanted to do. I mean, you know, but I love to work too. It's weird. I mean, but I'm still doing a few yards, not like I used to, but it's something I kind of enjoyed, because you get satisfaction stepping back and knowing what you've done, you know. But I've had some great customers and stuff over the years, and they've really helped me out and been good to me. And it's kind of hard to get away from that. When people take care of you, you try to take care of them.
Well,
it's been a big blessing in that.
I don't understand, I guess, why one of these zero turn mower companies isn't sponsoring you, man. I mean, you got to go get Bad Boy or Toro or somebody, man. Oh, you got one? Okay.
Yeah, well, at World Lawn, I sell their mowers here in
store.
But World Lawn Mowers, they're one of my main guys this year, actually, that helped me out as far as on the money side of it, which is. And I get to sell their mowers too, so it's been a big deal for me and them. They got a good product too.
Yeah. Now everybody,
they're not overpriced.
That's fantastic to have them helping you out. Now everybody thinks that just because you live in Oklahoma, everybody that lives in Oklahoma must fish Fort Gibson, and you've had some experience there, but it's not like something it's in your backyard.
Oh no, I'm 2.5 hours away, and we work the store. We're open 5.5 days a week, so that gives me Sunday. You know, since I've been fishing tournaments, like I said, I've probably fished in between 10 and 15 tournaments over the last 15 years, you know, that I've been fishing with my dad. Well, I guess we've been fishing 17 or 18 years together. Mm-hmm. But over that time, that's all that we fished it. And as far as practicing, we've been up there, you know, a handful of days before the tournament to do that. And it never has been the conditions we're about to face at all. I mean, I've seen it 6, 7, 8 foot above norm, but not 10 to 14 foot that we're going to possibly be dealing with.
A lot of figuring out on the fly on something like that. Do you feel like when you get there, is this going to be a lot of go fishing and just lean on your experience of different things?
I think it is. I mean, it's actually setting up better for me when it's tougher and it's not a slugfest like we just come from. I normally, you know, knock on wood, do better in play. But, you know, 5 to 7 bites is a big deal. And that's what I'm really shooting for on that, just because the water's so high. I fished just down the road there at Eufaula and fished it 7, 8 foot above normal, which is very similar to this lake being right. 10 to 12 foot above because of how much expansion the water, how far it can go back in the bushes and trees and people's yards and
cattle pastures and everything else.
Right, right. No, I hear that. You'd be on that pattern where you go fish by the you know, by the big rolls of hay, you know, and maybe it should be on that board. They create an eddy.
That's probably a possibility.
Yeah, no, I believe me. I've done that on Old Hickory Lake. I know exactly what that is like. Luke Palmer has been our guest. Luke, we appreciate you. Good luck this week. Keep up the good work. Great start to your career on the Elite Series.
All right, sure appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Thank you. All right,
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, Bassmaster Radio, Bassmaster Radio Network. And as promised, it's time for the, I guess we just call him the CLBB now. I mean, this is just Brandon Cobb's world, and we're all just living in it, as he just went nuts with 114 pounds of Lake Fork bass, and he wins. So he's in the winner's circle segment for the second time in a month. I mean, this is just incredible, and he joins us now. Brandon Cobb, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
What do you think? You like that Commissioner of Big Bass, all these different nicknames that Mercer's given you, the CLBB, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's like, I'm kind of, when I was at FLW side, there was a few different nicknames. They like almost tried to start, and I didn't like any of them, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Yeah, well, you're probably good with holding up those $100,000 checks a couple of times a month, too. I mean, you know, big bass, big stage, big dreams. Certainly big bass for you. But could you dream of your first season on the Elite Tour that you'd win a couple of events by the halfway mark of the season? You'd have a couple of wins in the hopper?
No, absolutely not. There's no way you could. I mean, you always want to win, but, I mean, look, I've been fishing for 5 years now and never won a pro-level event, so.
Yeah,
it's been an unbelievable year so far. It's awesome, and you always want to win, but it's winning's one of the hardest things to everything has to go right, come together perfectly.
You know, when I texted you to set up the interview, I jokingly said, "God, your arms must be tired from, you know, lifting those fish." But now when I think about it, you know, your arms must be tired from battling those fish. I mean, goodness gracious, that is just absolutely it had to wear you out a little bit.
Oh, it did. That was the best fishing I've ever seen, like, for practice and the whole tournament. I mean, there were certain days that were a little tough, but in general, it was unbelievable. And not to mention, I was worn out, too, from the way I was throwing that jerk bait.
Yeah.
I mean, I was really getting after the working it super fast, and it was awesome. But that lake is, like, the best I've ever seen. And the bad thing is from what, after the tournament, from what I heard from some of the locals down there, it gets even better than that.
Yeah.
Like, once the fish get deep and grouped up, it's hard to believe, but apparently it does.
And the thing is, too, it's only 27,000 acres. And just to kind of put that in perspective for people that are listening, that's like a third of the size of Gunnersville, for example, where you'll go next. So we'll get to that in a moment after the Fort Gibson postponement. But, you know, so it's much smaller than Hartwell. It's not a huge body of water, but it's like there's fish everywhere.
Yeah, it really, and that's what I didn't even look at one half of the lake. I kind of split the lake in half when I got there, because it fishes bigger than it is because of all the trees. If it was just an open lake, like, say, Hartwell or somewhere, you could see the whole lake in one day of practice, you know.
Yeah.
But with all the trees, it actually takes a while to get around, and I think that it actually makes it fish a little bit better, because it doesn't get pressured so bad, and there's, like, you kind of have to sit and fish a little bit and idle around. So I kind of, pretty cool place.
Yeah, no, it is a cool place. There's no doubt about it. And you made it even cooler by the damage that you did. The 37 pounds on day three. I mean, you think about that. And my personal best was 27 pounds. And that was at Gunnersville. And I remember, like, shaking off 5-pounders when it got to the boat. Like, oh, that's not going to help. And that's kind of what it turned out to be with you. I saw you throwing back a four and a half, like it was nothing. And this was before the cancellation of or the postponement of Fort Gibson. I was thinking, man, in 2 weeks, that'd be like the best fish you catch. If you get a 4.5-pounder, you'd be in great shape. And here you're shaking them off like they're trash fish.
Yeah, that. Well, so the third day, yeah, I had 37 the third day, but the last day, actually, I only had, I say,
yeah,
only 29.15. That last day was unbelievable. The day I'm 37, I pretty much, like, I think I caught two or three more four-pounders.
Yeah.
But that last day, I don't even know how many four-pounders I caught. And five.
Yeah.
Because I had all six-pounders pretty much by weigh-in. And I was actually hooking them and pointing my rod to them and trying to just, like, crank them in real fast and skip them across the water, four- and five-pounders, so that I could unhook them to throw back and catch a bigger one.
Brandon Cobwood is talking about his second win of the season. By the way, seventh in the AOI standing. So, I mean, yeah, you had a couple of tough goes in there, but it does show you how strong this field is, that you've got a couple of wins and you're still looking up at a bunch of these guys that are in front of you. It's not like you can't run them down about 30 points back, I think, something like that. But it's a pretty strong field, especially with these newcomers.
Yeah, it is. This year, definitely. Because actually, as far as like the seasons went so far, I've really only had one bad tournament.
Yeah.
I've been in the top 20 in every single one except for one. I finished 60th at Winya Bay.
Yep.
And had top 20s in the rest of them and still in seventh in points. So it's unbelievable how tight and how good everybody's catching them. I mean, I hope not, because I still, it'll be awesome to win Angler of the Year, but I'm not so sure that you can have a bad one and win Angler of the Year the way it's going so far.
All right, so you got two wins in a hopper. If I told you right now, I'll give you Angler of the Year or back-to-back national championship for Clemson, and they get to beat Alabama again in a national championship. What do you think? Do you take the Clemson national championship, or do you take your own Angler of the Year?
I think Clemson's going to lose because I'm going to take Angler of the Year.
Brandon Cobb with us. Clemson graduate, by the way, Brandon Cobb. So, you know, that September's going to be tough a little bit on you because, you know, that's into football season. And, of course, you got some major tournaments that'll be coming up there with Fort Gibson being postponed and put between Cayuga Lake and the AOI championship in Michigan. And to that end, by the way, on the Fort Gibson deal, I assume that you, like many others, I've talked to a bunch of the pros, your boat's over there in Oklahoma are sitting there waiting on you. Now you got to go pick it up and bring it back, right?
Unfortunately, I do. But it actually worked out because I would have rather just stayed out there with this situation happening. But yeah. I actually I'm flying back and getting it. And then I'm going to go do a little filming in Little Rock for some TV show stuff with in the Bass studio. So it'll be cool to go do that. So I'm going to head back out there Sunday and pick her up.
Now, when you caught that 11-pounder, I mean, that's the biggest fish ever seen on Bassmaster Live, and it was so stunning to see. And I joked that you honk back on that thing and it pulls you back. I mean, you're not a huge guy. You're not like you're not like Quentin Capo or one of those guys. You're not one of these big guys. It looked like for a moment that fish almost pulled you, you know, into the water. It was that hard of a, you honk back and it's almost like, oh my God, I got a cinder block.
It was. But that, I've caught a lot of eights and then a couple nines, but I've never leaned into a fish that felt like that when I did. It didn't even move. When I set the hook, you know, normally you bed fish, you see them in the water, you set the hook, you kind of roll them up on their side and their mouth opens up. I set the hook on that one and he was still facing away from me after I set the hook.
Yeah.
He didn't even move.
That was crazy. That's what I said. It looked like he was going to jerk you back in. And then, of course, you already had a 24 inch, you had an over, as they call it there. You're only able to bring one fish in over 24 inches. You had one in the live well. And you had to call out an 8-pounder, and I'm sitting there, and I look at it, and you have that 8-whatever, and you got the 11-1, and you're holding those two fish up for this picture that will go viral. It'll be a famous picture. It's at Bassmaster.com and everywhere else in the fishing community. And I'm, my God, he's holding up 20 pounds. It was like, it's a 20-pound stringer, and he's got two fish in his hand. I mean, that was, it's surreal. It's like fantasy world.
It was. That day was like the weirdest day. So I caught the 11, and then at that point, you know, I'm like, I'm done. I've got an 11-pounder. I've got my smallest fish now is a 4. Like, I don't even know what else we can do. I just need to go back, you know. And I'm kind of just trolling down the bank, talking to my fans behind me.
Yeah.
Seriously, done. I'm not going to fish anymore. I'm going to go back. And I look down, and there's a 5-5, and I catch it in, like, 3 casts.
Crazy, man.
Right below me.
Yeah.
it was just one of those days that, like, the days you dream about fishing, like, yeah, that was it.
And you had a couple of doubles, two or three doubles as well. And we saw some others that were on live, which is just when that starts happening, you're like, okay, this is stupid. This is nuts. But have you, outside of an Alabama rig, which of course is not legal on tour, but how often have you had that happen where you've had two fish on a jerkbait or on something like that?
Believe it or not, it's actually, I've done it a good many times around here, Hartwell, and the lakes with herring in them around here, they school so frantically most of the summer that I've done it quite often. But it was, that's one of the first times I've done it outside of the Savannah River chain and Hartwell with all the herring.
Yeah. The dual hardcore minnow flat 110 SP jerkbait, they're gone. Mm-hmm. We can't find those anywhere. It was as soon as people saw you were catching, we're all going to Tackle Warehouse and the various places to try and buy some of them. You can't get them anymore.
Well, I'm out now, so anybody listening to the show, if I need them for Gunnersville, I might need you to send me one.
You might need that swim bait you were borrowing. Tell us about that swim bait. Do you got any of those left? Are you going to be able to find those before you get to Gunnersville?
Yeah, I do have a few of those. We actually, I think, did figure out what brand that is because that was some of Shane's that he gave me.
Yeah.
It didn't really play that first day. So I caught them on the jerkbait really, really good the first day. And then they kind of quit biting. And I picked the swim bait up and was able to catch two really big ones after they quit biting.
Yeah.
And I kind of thought that was going to be like the routine the rest of the week. You know, that's why I wanted to get some more swim baits. I was like, well, if I can catch them real good on the jerkbait, and then just be, if I can get one or two more big bites on the swim bait every place, that'd be huge, you know?
Yeah.
And then I don't think I ever caught another one.
Well, Ronnie Moore and Mark Zona and myself were texting back and forth during that. We were throwing out different manufacturers and brands of what that swim bait was. I know what I thought it was. They were like, no, there's no way it's that. And then I think I know now what it is. I think we got it narrowed down. Do you want to mention the company? I mean, can
it's
you mention it? What is it?
We believe it's a Fringe.
Oh, is it? Okay, we thought it was an Osprey. You know, we thought it might have been an Osprey, but okay.
Yeah. Shane, he looked it up that night, and he said he's pretty confident it's a Fringe. He actually bought them in a local tackle store back in North Carolina.
And he
didn't even have them. He didn't even have them. He didn't buy them for Texas. He just had them.
So next up now with the postponement of Fort Gibson is Gunnersville, just in our final minute. Kind of a similar deal. That Lake Fork in a way is like a Tennessee River lake, and you wonder what it might be like in Gunnersville at the end of June. Now you got to have pretty good confidence after you had a 100-pound tournament.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to Gunnersville. I haven't had a lot of success on Tennessee River unless the fish are shallow.
Yeah.
No. Which Gunnersville is one of those tournaments where they definitely go deep, but you don't know. It's getting late enough in the summer to where there could be some fish showing back up shallow. I mean, you never really know that type of bite, but I'm definitely excited to get out there. The grass in Gunnersville, I fished Gunnersville six or seven times, probably, maybe more, but I've never been when it was warm.
Yeah. All right.
In February and March, so I'm excited.
Did you actually drive the Tundra back, or did your wife bring that back, or what happens with the Tundra now? Now you got one of those?
No, I talked to Toyota yesterday. We're actually probably going to wait until the late summer, fall for me to get it, to order what I want. So
nice. Beautiful. Well, congratulations. Congrats on the win. If you come on the show any more times, I'm going to have to start paying you like an appearance fee or something like that. But keep winning and you keep coming on. So hopefully we'll talk to you again. We'll definitely see you at Gunnersville anyway in a few weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you at Gunnersville, and hope we'll be talking again.
There you go. Yeah, Brandon Cobb, our winner from Texas Fest. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
We'll come back and wrap it up next right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. You can visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. Individual elite winners receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops, and one grand prize winner will win a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175. Plus, Fantasy Fishing winners who are BASS members at the time they set up their teams win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card, which is another great reason to become a member of Bass today. Sign up at BassmasterFantasy.com. And while you're at the site, click on Sweepstakes for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shryock. The winner gets round-trip airfare, three nights hotel accommodations, a rental car, and a $500 gift card from Field & Stream. Plus, a prize package including a Phoenix 618 Pro XP bass boat with a Mercury 150, Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging 3-in-1, Rigid Industries boat deck light kit and a backup kit, Power Pole $500 gift certificate plus gear from Abu Garcia, Berkeley, and Spiderwire, and a Bob's Machine trolling motor upgrade package and apparel. We have another sweepstakes going on as well. You can enter to win a day on the water with Elite Series Pro Keith Combs. That trip includes airfare, two nights hotel accommodations, $500 spending money, and a rental car. Plus, every day in May, one entrant will win a $100 gift certificate to Cracker Barrel. Enter now at Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Now let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. With the postponement of Fort Gibson, the next event on the calendar will be the BassPro.com Eastern Open at Lake Chickamauga. I will be there as well. That's May 23rd through the 25th. I hope we see you there. The Carhartt Bassmaster College Series at the St. Lawrence River, presented by Bass Pro Shops, is June 19th through the 21st. And June 21st through 24th, the next Elite Series event will be the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite Series Tournament at Lake Guntersville, which is Lake Lunkersville right now. That ought to be a good one as well. Now, if you're interested in having a front row seat to an Elite event, priority registration is now open for the Bassmaster Marshall Program. Just visit Bassmaster.com/elite for more information. Now, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. And if you have any questions or a guest you'd like to hear or a technique featured in our Technique of the Week, you can just tweet it to us at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.